Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
One of the fun things about spring, if you could call it spring is coming, is that Jack Morris is going into the Hall of Fame, a well-deserved, a dominant pitcher of his era. No question about that. We had the pleasure of seeing him pitch one of the greatest games in the history of baseball, and he's good enough to join us right now.
And I bet the Hall of Famer has got his shovel or snowblower going today. I don't think he's the Hall of Fame pitcher. I bet you're pitching snow, Jack.
Merry Christmas!
Yeah, you got that right. Oh, man. Yeah.
How are you doing out where you are, Jack?
I'm doing. We're plowed out. Got up at 7. Got it done. Had to do it last night just because my little blade doesn't plow it when it gets to over 6 inches. So I got a double duty, but it's done.
I'm going to make you tell a story before we get going. In 91, when the Twins won the World Series, people remember this, David. Shortly thereafter, we had the Halloween blizzard. And after you guys got back from the White House, I believe, and Jack Morris was on top of the world, and he's in his 4x4, and there's a car in the ditch, and this person's looking for help, and Jack stops, and who gets out of the car to help this person with his chains and pull him out but Jack Morris, the World Series MVP. Jack, tell that story better than I did, because you were in that 91 blizzard. You ended up surprising somebody.
Well, it was more than one. I actually helped pull a city bus out of the ditch. I was on a mission. I figured, you know, this is one of the great days. Nobody should be on the road except stupid people like me.
Yeah.
So I had a four-wheel drive with a winch and a snatch rope, and I went out and just, I don't know, I think I ended up pulling about six people out of the ditch, but a couple of them were really shocked. And it was
just to be clear on this, Jack, that you got the win and the save then.
Yeah.
Sid's got a question.
What? You were going to go to Kent, you told me, this week. What's that all about?
Oh, here's Sid. Say it again.
Sid, go ahead. Yeah, we were talking over each other. Go ahead. Say it again.
You going to Canton for some
Not Canton. That'd be the football.
I'd be surprised if he's going to Canton, but maybe Cooperstown.
Cooperstown, I mean.
Cooperstown. Yeah, this summer we'll be going there. Sid, you should still come. I know you'll be around, so you should make it with me.
He's very good at introduction speeches, you know. I just asked Bud Grant.
Yeah. Jack, what does this do to a pitching staff when you're off for 4 days? Does it make much difference? Does it make you better? What happens?
Well, you know, quite honestly, it's been a long time since I remember this scenario. It happened to me once in Detroit. We got snowed out opening day, and it prolonged into a couple days off. You know, nobody likes it. It's not ideal. They're going to go to Puerto Rico, and they're going to get some warm weather for a couple of days. Hopefully, they'll play. I heard it was supposed to rain down there. But, you know, Larry DeVito and the grounds crew at Target Field have got the biggest challenge. They got to do it again, and, you know, in less than 2 weeks, they got to try to clear the snow off that place and get it playable again.
Jack, is it better? Mike and I were talking, Barrios' turn may be coming up. Is it better to skip everybody and keep the rotation, or is it better to push people back?
Well, normally, you know, when you've got one ace and everybody else is sort of in the same pile, you would keep the ace on schedule and skip other guys. But in this case, I think the team is so balanced with the pitching rotation that I don't think Paul's going to want to mess up everybody. So I think everybody will just be bumped back and, you know, they'll go somewhere to try to get their side work in and make sure they get some throwing in between, but it's not ideal. They gotta roll with it. That's part of the game. You can't control Mother Nature.
What do you think of this Twin pitching staff?
Well, Sid, I like it. I think if we ever get warm weather, we're going to see even better pitching than we've seen so far. But overall, I'm encouraged. You know, guys are throwing more strikes. Barrios has had two great games. I think Lance Lynn's going to show that. Once he gets enough innings in, and I've told people that he's basically still in spring training mode, but he had a good outing his last time with five scoreless innings, and Jake Odorizzi has really done a nice job so far. So, you know, we've got Urban Santana coming back at some point. And we don't know what's going to happen to Kyle Gibson, but he said one out of three that was okay. So hopefully we'll, you know, see some warm weather. The snow will melt soon, and we'll get out there and show people that our pitching rotation is much improved from last year.
Is Lance Lynn, I would imagine you like him because he seems like he wants the game ball and he wants to throw inside.
Well, I've heard so many good things about the fact that he attacks the strike zone. I'm in favor of that. When you've got one of the best defensive teams in the game and, you know, a ballpark that is fair, I think, you know, you give a poor pitch, it's going to be a home run, but everything else stays in the ballpark. But you got a great defense behind you. Put the ball in play. You know, don't be nibbling. Don't be getting your pitch count out so you're out of the game early. You got to go attack the hitters. Let your defense take over.
How about the closer? You and I talked about him.
Well, you know, Fernando Rodney's a guy that's been around a long time. And, you know, I think his track record shows that he's going to have his days where control becomes an issue for him. It makes fans nervous. I had a couple of those guys behind me in my career. Aurelio Lopez was notorious for putting a couple guys on, but he seemed to always get the save. You know, it makes fans real nervous, and, you know, you get anxious. But Rodney's going to have some of those days. You know, we just hope that he has more good days than bad. And if he doesn't, then I think Addison Reed will probably be available to maybe get that chance to be the closer at some point this year.
Jack, talking about Cooperstown, are you pretty well set? I mean, do they have a regimen? You have to be there a certain time. There's maybe autograph sessions and the proceedings itself, which are really tremendous. I've been there twice for it. It's obviously sunk in when you were notified that you've been elected, or maybe does it finally sink in when you're up there, standing up there, and they make the presentation?
Yeah, you know, the first week or two after the announcement came, I was overwhelmed, and I still had a tough time understanding the meaning of it. You know, I was just so happy and so grateful for what had transpired. But then, you know, life goes back into a normal pace. And, you know, like Maxie said at the top of this interview, I was out shoveling snow just like everybody else.
Your wife didn't say you're a Hall of Famer, well, Jack. You don't have to clean the driveway, right?
Tell me that makes a difference. And quite honestly, I wouldn't want it any other way. I mean, yeah. If I got to change that in my life, then I don't want it. So, you know, life goes on. But everybody tells me you'll really feel the impact of it when you're standing on that stage and all the Hall of Famers behind you and the big crowds out in front of you, and you deliver a speech that tries to, you know, encircle your life in baseball. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a crazy weekend, a lot of activities, but certainly happy for the honor.
There was a time where you thought you'd never get there.
Oh, yeah. I kind of accepted the fact that it might not happen, and, you know, that was okay, Sid. You know, initially I was frustrated with it all. I thought I had done enough, but then I get to a point where, you know, realize that, you know, honors are something that you cannot control, and it really hadn't changed my life that much. I was still grateful for so many things that came my way and for all the things that baseball has given me in my life. I mean, it is really, truly part of my life. And so, I mean, how do you get angry over that? I certainly couldn't, and I sort of accept the fact that, you know, sometimes you got to careful what you wish for and be content with what you have. And I think I've learned that being content with what you have is still pretty darn good for Jack Morris.
Jack, is there anything from the 91 World Series already in Cooperstown? Do they have a ball or glove or anything?
Yeah, I think they've got the Game 7 ball.
Yep.
They've got a hat, and I think they might even have a uniform. But this coming week, actually, representative from Cooperstown is coming to Minnesota to collect some of my memorabilia, because every player that's inducted for the year that they're, you know, until the next induction, they have a display of that individual player. And so we're gathering stuff that we can put in our display. The Twins are certainly, Clyde Dettner is helping put some of that together that represents my time with Minnesota.
You know, Jack, the one guy I think about in your career that as you go in and you played for some good ones, but we used to have Sparky Anderson, late Sparky Anderson, on our radio program from time to time. We often talked about you, and I remember he always said, if I rolled the ball in the lock in the clubhouse and said, all right, who's going to pitch the game tonight, and it's the big game, Jack Morris would be the first one to jump on it, or Cactus, as he called you. What does Sparky mean to you?
Well, you know, it's kind of ironic that you bring that up, Mike, because I am in the middle of preparing my speech, and, you know, they've given me a timeline of 8 minutes, which is not a whole lot to, you know, you've got 23 years to think about an 18-year career and all the things that baseball has meant to me and done for me, and to basically have to eliminate people and talk about them because you want to give a message is almost unfair in a way, but Sparky is a huge part of my baseball career. He was the guy that basically taught me that, you know, to finish games, taught me so many lessons in baseball, so many lessons in life. He was more of a, I don't know, an older brother figure. I couldn't call him a father figure because I'd never swear at my dad the way I swore at Sparky, but but, you know, I loved him, and he loved me, and he loved all of us. And he treated us not just as players, but his own family. And, you know, TK and Cito were wonderful in their own way, a lot of similarities in their leadership qualities. But Sparky was my first. He was the guy that, you know, brought me along when I was young and helped me mold me into the pitcher that I became.
Jack, appreciate it very much.
Hey, we need your address. We'll get your MERS certificate so I can get the best steak on town. I'll stay on the phone, please.
Okay, yep, you stay on the phone. And Big Kevin, you know Kevin, we'll take your address. Jack, thank you so much. Good to visit with you, my friend.
All right, guys, have a good day. Stay warm.
You too. Jack Morris, Sports Saddle. Plenty more to come on News Radio 830 WCCO.
All right, we are back. We're hoping to do some Timberwolves talk a little bit later. Sid, your thoughts on that Timberwolf game tonight? They sure got a tough draw in Houston.
They got no chance.
That'd be a tough draw.
How do you really feel?
The Rockets will name the score. They'll name the score. I mean, they got the best player of all time. I mean,
well, not all time.
Well, that's a little. He's good.
Yeah, he is good.
Maybe not the best of all time.
Let's face the facts. I mean, it would take an absolute miracle for them to win one of the four games.
Yeah, I think the experts, Mike, are pretty much in accord with Sid. I'm not sure there's the same language, but Houston's awfully solid.
The only thing I've seen is somebody predicting it goes six games. That's as far as you can get in terms of in the Timberwolves.
So Houston
last
would win two,
watch,
huh?
New Orleans won at Portland,
yeah,
which was kind of interesting. But, you know, the interesting team, too, is Philadelphia because they kind of mirrored the Wolves in the way they were building this team, and they just blew Miami out yesterday, 130-103.
That young talent there is really solid.
And they don't have Embiid, you know?
No.
Yeah.
This is an indication how far behind it, like the Timberwolves are behind the Rockets.
Well, they made the playoffs. We should be happy with that.
That's right.
Take a break in case we have a special guest coming up. We won't know until we're back. Sports Huddle. Sid, Dave, and Mike. All right. We took a chance. We called the Twins, and they came through for us.
Yeah.
Eddie Rosario standing by, a particularly interesting guest because, of course, the Twins are going to Puerto Rico this week where maybe they'll encounter some warm weather. Eddie, can you give us a little preview of what the Twins can expect in Puerto Rico in this series?
How you doing, sir? Ready to go to play in Puerto Rico. Everybody exciting. That's the time when you're waiting all the year, but it's a good time to go right now to Puerto Rico.
Good.
How much is this hitting coach helping you guys? It seemed like last year you guys went crazy the last part of a couple of months. How much does this hitting guy help you guys?
Everything is done together. Everything done together. I think everybody is doing the right way right now. It wanted to play every day and win games every the more possible.
Eddie, what are the ballparks like in Puerto Rico that you'll play at? Are they like major league stadiums? Are they similar to what you play at in big leagues? Or what do you tell the guys?
It's a little different. A little different. But it's a you feel in the major league, but in Puerto Rico, it's a good stadium. A lot of fans, good fans over there. I think everybody's excited for see that.
Eddie, do you have a lot of friends and family who are going to be at the games?
Yeah. I think everybody going to do this thing.
Do you know how to play? Do you remember how to play baseball without long sleeves and a stocking cap?
Yeah.
What do you guys do? You take batting practice every day? Miguel Sano, I saw on Friday night, went out to batting cages just out in the suburbs and hit with some of the kids. Have you been able to stay with it and just take batting practice at Target Field and throw and stay in shape that way?
Yeah. I practice every day, waiting for play games. I want to try to be ready to Thursday.
If I ask you to name one person who's really a big help for you to make you the good ball player you are in your baseball career, who would it be, and how would he help you?
He helped me mentality and me and my family to play baseball. I feel happy to go to see my friend Henry and my process to go to Major League.
Okay. Playing and you play. Okay. Eddie will get you a
steak.
Certificate for Murray's, the best steak in town for being on
once you
show.
Get back. Eddie, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Good luck in Puerto Rico, Eddie.
Thank you, sir.
All right, that's Eddie Rosario. I'll be back right after this with more sports. You're listening to the Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Mike. Well, you wouldn't know it from looking out the window, but we actually did get a football game in. They had to change it from yesterday to Thursday night. A very good decision, and Coach P.J. Fleck is standing by to talk to us right now. Sidney?
P.J., let's talk about how much difference this spring game was with last year's spring game and how many more players you had available.
Yeah, it was really nice. We definitely had a lot more players available. You know, offensive line, we were able to have two teams, and it was really fun. We had a game format. Everybody can watch it on Big Ten Network now and just watch it for the next few weeks as it airs. But I thought the players did a great job. It was very competitive, and they treated it just like a game. So we needed to put quarterbacks in game-like scenarios, and I thought that was mission accomplished.
The offensive line's a good comparison, right?
Well, absolutely. You know, I mean, we're growing, we're developing. You know, we've got a lot of young guys up there. We got four more guys that will join us in June. So, again, we're going to be very young. We understand that, but it's part of growing up. And the future is really bright for Gopher football.
I wrote my column today about how you walked into a tough situation. Could you talk about that?
Well, I think any head coach that goes in any situation they know exactly what they're getting into. And one of the things you take a job knowing that you're either prepared for that or not prepared for that. And, you know, we've done very similar type turnarounds and kind of inside rebuilds of culture, and that's what we did. So it's a lot of fun. It's exciting every day. There's a lot of work to do. But again, we might have to take a few steps backwards to take a huge, giant leap forward into the future, and I'm okay with that. I know others might not be okay with that. They want to win right now. They want to win yesterday. But we've got a very young football team that I really like. And sometimes when you're really young, you surprise yourself in a lot of different ways. But I thought we had a tremendous spring, very productive. All of our goals were met in the spring of exactly what we wanted to do. And now our players get to take ownership, springboard into the summer, continue to do all the right things on the field and off the field, and then get ready for fall camp.
PJ, I've got a whole bunch of notes here on the game. First of all, your assessment on the three quarterbacks, what you liked and saw from them individually, and then a running back who, unless you paid attention to who was a scout team player of the year last year, you probably never heard of Ibrahim, but he was a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, with the quarterbacks, you know, it was mission accomplished in terms of putting him in a game scenario. Under the lights, 6 o'clock, Big Ten Network, and a live scrimmage where, you know, the quarterbacks weren't protected. I think that was really critical. A lot of people have asked me, why did you go live on the quarterbacks? Because they haven't ever thrown a college football pass, and they won't throw a college pass until New Mexico State. But they haven't also been hit. They haven't had a chance to – they've always been protected by a whistle. And I think you saw the reason why we did that. I think we had three or four fumbles at the quarterback position in terms of getting ready to throw and getting hit, which is good and bad. It's a bad deal from the quarterback's position in terms of we've got to take care of the football. And obviously the protection broke down. But it's a good thing on the defensive side because we're getting pressure on the quarterback, which we wanted to get more of, obviously, going into next year. So I was really pleased in what we set out and our mission was during the spring game for our quarterbacks. Mohammed Ibrahim, people really have to start knowing his name. He's one of the toughest young men I've ever met. He was a guy that went through last year on the scout team. Playing scout team running back is not the most glorious position. You're constantly being hit. You're constantly being tackled because you're preparing the defense for a game. He didn't miss one rep. He didn't miss one day, and he continues to be incredibly durable. He's not that big, but he's incredibly quick. He's very, very powerful for being a smaller guy, and he's incredibly tough. So I'm just glad he's on our football team. I'm glad that he's only a redshirt freshman, and I think our fans are really going to enjoy what he brings to our football program. He brings a different dynamic than Rodney or Shannon. And then with the other two freshmen coming in, Nolan Edmonds, Bryce Williams.
Good to have Taylor Johnson healthy, right?
Yeah, Tyler, I thought he had a great spring. You know, Tyler's not making the big jumps now in terms of development. You're not making the huge jumps. You're making the small jumps. When we first got here, I thought he made big jumps in becoming a really good receiver. But then as you become a good receiver, now you've got to make those little small jumps. And that's the technique, the discipline, the ability to create separation down the field, at the line of scrimmage, all the integral parts of route running, break points, center of gravity. He's understanding how to become an elite receiver. Still got work to do, but I was very pleased with his spring.
So, PJ, with his quarterback position, again, over the next few months, you know, in high school we see 7-on-7 leagues now for the skill position players. What could a quarterback do as best, you know, they're allowed to simulate a game situation and decision-making? You always talk about decision-making being the most important thing at that position. What can they do that gets them as close to game situations as possible over the next few months?
You know, we find that in terms of even high school players coming out 7-on-7. You don't get hit 7-on-7. There's no pass rush in 7-on-7. There's no deflection. There's no passing lanes to throw the ball through in 7-on-7. So our players, that's what we have to continue to do. Not hit our players, but we've got to be able to have, when they're working on in the summer, we've got to be able to have pass rushers run by them, make them step up in the pocket. We've got to have our broomsticks, we call them, you know, our broomsticks of people holding broomsticks and waving them up and down so it simulates defensive linemen's hands. And we've got to get the ball out of our hand. And then if it's not there and you go through your reads, you go through your progression pretty quickly and there's nothing there, get out, scramble, and go and start the second play. That's what we have to improve on. Sitting back there in 7-on-7 in the summer is only going to create bad habits. So we've got to be able to simulate as much as we can that game-type feel with, you know, the broomsticks, with the pass rush, and then getting to the second play as fast as we can.
Did you talk about Vermonte's a quarterback? Has he been a disappointment?
Well, I don't think it's necessarily a disappointment. What's disappointing is the ball security. That doesn't matter who you are, whether that's a running back, whether it's a quarterback, whether it's a wide receiver, the ball is the program. But again, he's only been here a few months. He's adapting to a whole new culture, a whole new system, and we're going to continue to pour in and work with him. But I think he's learned a lot in terms of the value of the football and the value of the football here versus other places. So, you know, I look forward to him continuing to get better.
PJ, I wrote down a couple of names I didn't see. Barber, Winfield, Cashman, Dunlap. Are those minor injuries, dings, or reasons to keep them out? Obviously a lot of interest in some of those guys.
Yeah, they'll all be back here for summer workouts. So kept him out just for various reasons. Barber and Cashman had off-season surgery. They'll be ready to go come May 1st, 100%, which is good. They practiced all spring. They just practiced in no-contact type periods. Curtis Dunlap had a lower leg injury, which he'll be fine in about 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Who else did you say on there?
Let's see. Oh, Winfield, Cashman, Dunlap.
Yep, Winfield. Yep. You know, we kept him out. You know, he's a guy that's had a good spring, kind of in and out. We limited his reps here and there just from coming off from last year, and we're just kind of getting him back into the mix slowly. But, yeah, all those guys will be ready to go, and we look forward to all those guys having a great summer and then getting into training camp and having an elite fall.
How about this Howard kid as a receiver? He caught 5 passes.
Who was that, said? I'm sorry?
Howard, the former quarterback.
Howard's a wide receiver?
Yeah, Phillip, yeah. You know, Phillip's a guy that, you know, I think is still progressing, but he's learning how to play the wide receiver position. You know, I think he's a slot for us. You know, he's got really good speed. You know, he fought through different injuries during spring and continued to stay on the field, which I give him a lot of credit for. But he's got a lot of work to do, and he knows that. But I'm very proud of the progress he's making.
PJ, the early recruiting, the signing date being at the end of the season now, does that change your work schedule right now? I mean, is it paramount right now with that, you know, once you get into game mode, you're in the game mode, that you lock up as much as you can of that class so that in December it's easier?
Yeah, I think it's harder to lock up as many as you possibly can just across the country with not necessarily down the road, but right now with the early, not the early signing period, but the early official visits. You know, this is the first time we've had early official visits where you can have guys in April and June. And so we're going to do some of that. So I think a lot of guys are waiting for their official visits that are going to make their decisions before the season. If you were going to make your decision before the season, you never went on official visits in the past. So there'd be a guy that committed and never been on official visits. Well, now everybody says, well, why would I commit so early? I can go on all these official visits. And so they're doing that in April and June, then still committing before the season. So I think you're going to see a flood of commitments usually at one point, whether that's at the beginning of the season, whether that's after the season, whether that's during the, you know, the June period. But we'll see. We've never been through this before, and it's been a lot of fun. It's been really exciting. We have a 2019 class that's off and running and doing really well. So hopefully we'll get some more commitments here soon. And our coaches are on the road recruiting as we speak on Sunday.
PJ, two things before we wrap it up. In several of the interviews over the last 2 months, you've mentioned Aubman Bell, wide receiver who we really never had a chance to look at. Your observations on how he played, I thought he had a really good second half. And then I just want to commend to people, if they haven't seen it online, Carol Evans got a video. It's on both of the Gopher fan sites, showing that it's a little harder to field punts than people might think. And a side of you, look like you're having a lot of fun with those guys.
I was having a lot of fun because they were not my players. I didn't have to worry about them catching punts on Saturdays, so that's a good thing. Neither do you home, so it was a lot of fun having fun with Dave. And, you know, he does such a great job, and him coming out to our program and being willing to do things like that. I think that's a lot of fun. You know, I think it's great to give fans an inside perspective of just how hard some things are. It's one thing for a Division I student athlete to tell you how tough it is, but they're skilled in that realm. When you have journalists and people that are on the news go in there and catch punts and compete, it's just a lot of fun to kind of give people the inside look on that. Chris Bell is a player that we're really excited about. You know, I think one thing about Gopher fans this year is, you know, 77%, right around there, of our team is first or second year players. I mean, that is what it is. Those are facts. We only have 9 scholarship seniors. How you get to that point, not really sure, but there's 9 scholarship seniors. Again, we can only control what we can control. And that's the development of the student athletes that we're bringing in that are in our program right now that we can develop. But the future of Gopher football is so bright. But the fans are going to be able to see a lot of these young players that are going to be on this team for a very long time who are very skilled that they're going to be able to come familiar with. It's not going to be a ton of rotation. And who's the wideout this year? Who's the quarterback this year? It's going to sooner or later be, okay, we get to watch this team develop over the next 4 or 5 years. And I think that's a lot of fun for fans. Chris Bell is one of those players. He was redshirted. He's one of the best players we have at the wide receiver position. Very, 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 very good ball skills. He's learning how to be a complete receiver. He's learning how to take Division I hits, a little bit different than that in high school, and the 7-on-7 stuff he was really good at. But I'm very proud of him. I'm very proud of that whole crew. Matt Simon, our wide receiver coach, does a great job. So we've got a young team. It's very exciting. We look forward to working with them as we continue to go forward.
He could be defensively.
Well, you know, we're going to rely on a lot of guys that have played some football for us. You know, the Blake Cashman, the Thomas Barbers, but you're going to see guys like Thomas Rush at linebacker. You know, the Kamal Martins we need to rely on. There's going to be some new guys in the secondary that you see, some young guys. You're going to see a completely reconstructed defensive line with a lot of young players at it, a lot of freshmen, a lot of redshirt freshmen, a lot of true sophomores. Are going to be able to help us up there. So that's not where you want to be young on the defensive line, but you've got to be able to have some guys ahead of them that can teach those young guys how it goes, but you also have to be able to rotate guys. So the guys are going to be rotated really young, but we need to be able to gain that experience. We're really excited. We got news that, you know, O.J. Smith, it was granted his sixth year. So O.J. Smith, the transfer from Alabama, he's really only a junior, so we have him this year and next year. We're really excited about that. University of Alabama worked with us, very professionally, and got to take their hats off to them because they were great through the process and really took care of OJ, and that's what it's all about. So we're excited. Got a lot of work to do, but that's why we're not playing just yet. But it's up to our players now in the summer to kind of take the lead of this football team and become a players-led football team, really grow up and mature and get to training camp.
They didn't raise the season tickets, and there's some great plans on season tickets. And PGA for being on the show. Tim Murray loves it when you come in there and have one of the big shakes. Thank you for being with us.
We appreciate your time, guys. Enjoy the beautiful spring weather. And go Gophers. Row the boats.
Okay, it's PGA Flex. As we go to break, I want to tell you, Minneapolis just declared a snow emergency. No surprise there, but it's now official. Snow emergency in Minneapolis. Back after this with more sports. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike. All right, time to talk a little bit of baseball again. We talked to Jack Morris earlier. We talked to Eddie Rosario. Dave St. Peter, the president of the Minnesota Twins, took time out from shoveling out of the stadium to talk to us this morning. We all have a lot of questions. First of all, Dave, thanks for joining us. Since you've been president, you ever had a week like this?
Yeah, David, no chance. Obviously, this is a historic storm in every sense of the word. I think we always feared there could be weekends like this when we left the Metrodome, but what's ironic is I'm not sure we would have played at the Metrodome yesterday or today based on the storm and the roads and the lack of travel being advised. So it is what it is. I think we're excited to get on our plane later today and get to Puerto Rico and try to get some resemblance of a routine for our team, let alone some warm weather.
Now, Dave, I think it was the 25th anniversary of the snowstorm that caused the roof of the Metrodome to collapse, so perfect timing. Sidney?
Dave, you'll actually be better off rescheduling those three games. Won't you draw a lot more people with those three games when you have good weather?
Yeah, Sid, I think for most fans that will be the case. You know, obviously if you had there are going to be some fans that are going to be inconvenienced based on schedules and things of that nature. But I feel pretty good about the rescheduling plan that will be announced here in the next day or two. And I think it's going to give us the best chance to get these games played, but done. But I also think we'll be able to do so in a manner that's going to be manageable for our baseball team in terms of taking advantage of the White Sox return visits to Minnesota, both in June and September.
Dave, how does that work behind the scenes? You know the games are called off. That's step one. And then what? It's Major League Baseball, the two teams. It's up to you to work it out. Does Major League Baseball say this is what we're going to do? What happens?
Well, Mike, it's a great question, and it's a bit more complicated, I think, for fans than they may realize. A lot of it goes into the rescheduling of the game. I think that's the first thing you start with. Even before you postpone officially, any game we postpone, we generally have a pretty good sense on where we're going to place it. And on a weekend like this where we knew we might lose Saturday and Sunday as well as Friday, we've waited to announce, and we will do so hopefully over the next 24 hours. But it's a discussion with the White Sox. It's clearly a discussion with Major League Baseball. And then in addition to that, it's a discussion with the Major League Baseball Players Association. All of those constituencies are involved when we make decisions. And that's sometimes why it takes a little bit longer for us to announce a postponement than maybe what fans would like and maybe what the Twins would like, because there's some other constituencies involved.
Dave, a multi-part question. Is Major League Baseball satisfied that the power structure in Puerto Rico is in good enough condition? You're not going to have any problems with the game. Second, what are your long-term or now short-term weather forecasts for Puerto Rico? And if for any reason those games were postponed, would they come back here? Because technically, I believe those are your home games.
Yeah, they are our home games, Dave. So we're only only scheduled to play 79 home dates in Minneapolis this year. So, I think we're hopeful of getting the games, and obviously we have off days on both going in and coming out. So, I think for any reason we were unable to play one of the games, my sense is that the teams would play on Thursday in San Juan before traveling back to the mainland. So. We're optimistic we're going to play. We see no reason. MLB says we're a full go, obviously. And I think one of the great things about these games will be, I know for the leadership in Puerto Rico, they view these games as a strong message really around the world that they're open for business, understanding tourism is such a driver there. And they're going to do everything they can to get the games in. Moreover, I think it's a good opportunity for baseball to find ways to continue to give back to the people there, and that's what we'll embark on along with our players here over the next few days.
Any idea what kind of crowds you have there?
Sellouts, Mike. I think the stadium itself holds 20,000-25,000, and it's a very, very difficult ticket, I can assure you that, in San Juan, and we were able to return some tickets from our team allotment, and I can tell you they were sold quickly.
Do you think this problem will teach baseball a lesson? Here they got Texas playing at Houston, and you're playing here in the weather. Does this make any sense? I can't understand it.
Well, Sid, I appreciate that, and it's easy to say that, but I'm going to remind you, it's April 14th and 15th, and I'm not sure you can expect us to be scheduled on the road for the first two full weeks of the Major League Baseball season every year, understanding when it starts. I think we're hopeful of making sure that we do what we can to try to overall limit our number of April home dates. That would seem to make sense. I would agree with that. And clearly, I concur that the first week we should work as an industry to do a better job of scheduling games in warmer climates and facilities with domes. But I'm not sure it would have made any difference this weekend. There's a good chance we might have been home anyway.
Hey, Dave, I got to let you go. We appreciate you joining us. As we say goodbye to you, I know Sid wants to give you a marriage certificate, and somebody texted and said, don't let him go until you find out what happens to the plaid cap giveaway.
Well, that giveaway, any giveaway for any game that was postponed will travel with that game. So when we announce the rescheduled games, you'll see the plaid cap right there.
Serious stuff first. Dave, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
All right, Dave St. Peter, the Boom
Bat. Get your merge certificate.
He's gone. We told him. Sports Huddle. Sid, David, and Mike.
Show.
All right, we're back. We've got only about 2 minutes to go here. I want to remind people Minneapolis has declared a snow emergency. You can text us at any time in that last hour, 81807. We're not caught up on text messages. We will try to open the phone lines in that hour. Sid, two questions for you. You weren't too optimistic on the Timberwolves. What do you think about the Wild's chances in the playoffs? And what did you think about your friend Lindsey Whalen getting the Gopher job?
I think Lindsey Whalen's thing was a fantastic deal. I think they couldn't make a better decision. The Wild are in trouble. I mean, first of all, Winnipeg's got a very good team. It's not like they lost a bad team. Timberwolves have no chance. They're going to lose four straight. I mean, they're playing the best team in the league. I mean, that Harden, who's going to stop him? That other guys they got a great team.
Glenn Taylor is going to be our guest at 11:05. Are you going to give him that optimistic outlook for his team?
What's that?
Glenn Taylor will be joining us at 11:05.
Okay.
Yeah, you're going to tell him what you just told us?
Yeah, tell him what to do.
Yeah. Hey, have you ever seen a blizzard like this in April that you can remember?
I mean,
have you ever seen a blizzard like this in April?
Yeah, one time. I had a news run for the Tribune, and that 1983 deal, I got stuck on Penn and Broadway. No. I leave my car there.
No, not in 1983 you weren't carrying papers for the Tribune. Maybe 38, but not 83.
I forgot what year it was.
He had the right numbers. But
listen,
I
know you like the moonlight, but you were not carrying papers in 1983.
All the way home on 726 Irving Avenue North.
All right, we're going to suggest that was maybe 1938. Yeah. A little dyslexia at work there. All right, that text number again, 81807. Remember, we're in a snowy emergency. In the next hour, it'll be Glenn Taylor at 11:05, Mark Coyle 11:30. Stick around. Should be fun. Sports Huddle. Sid, Dave, and Mike.
And Kevin.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.